It's the Mac Show! Yes, we're back! We're in the studio. We're actually recording a show in the studio for you. Amazing. Sorry to everyone. I've been away working. It's been horrific. Well, it's not been great. It's been fantastic, but it's been horrific with work. So I've had virtually no time to get anything done. And thanks to Righty for keeping the big show going, although we've had some problems posting it. And I feel very lucky, because if I'd have gone another week without posting a show, I'd have changed my name to Will Green.
Ooh.
Oh, I've been rehearsing that all week. Get that knife in there. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, top team, top left, it's the man himself, Don McAllister. Oh. How's it going, mate?
Hello, Ewan. How's it going?
It's all right, mate. I've been working today, but I've broken off to do this, and then I'm going to go back to it afterwards.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I have to go back to publishing later, but it's good to be here. It's been a while.
What have you been doing in the last 5 weeks?
Me? Oh, the usual stuff, you know, screencasts and whatever, and new websites and things.
Good. Mm. Anything new to report? Any new stuff? Because I saw you had a little launch or something yesterday.
A little soft launch yesterday, yeah. I put together a little thing called Screencast Online Academy. Which
right.
is, I'm not leaving the membership. The membership's still my bread and butter and still will be the primary focus, you know, the weekly membership thing. But people do ask me, can they just buy either certain episodes or series of episodes separately?
Right.
Without the full membership. So the Screencast Online Academy is really meant to be where I can, say, group together. Like, I've just grouped together all my recent iWork tutorials for Numbers, Pages and Keynote. And so I'm sort of publishing them as a set of tutorials that people can buy just as a one-off and keep them from that point on.
Good. That's like going to video afterwards. After you've been in the
theatre. Yeah, sort of. Yeah. So, you know, the members get the fresh stuff, and then once it's all finished, I'll put them into the academy. Not everything. It's only going to be a small amount of the stuff that I'll put over there, but it's over at screencastonline.academy.
Excellent. Go there now. If you're not a member of Screencast, you bloody should be if you own a Mac. Otherwise, pathetic. Next to him, it's Ben Rotig. How you doing, mate?
Pretty good, Ewan. Yourself?
Yeah, all right. And how's Iowa this fine day?
It is hotter than hell.
Really? What's the temperature?
It's going to be mid-90s today. Somehow it's actually, you know, up into the 90s by raining.
Oh, so the humidity's up as well.
Yeah.
Feels like 110.
Exactly.
Yeah, lovely. Glad you're there and I'm here. How have you been? I mean, you haven't seen you for ages. How have you been? I haven't seen you for ages.
Pretty good.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, the man himself, Greedy Boy.
Hello, chap.
How the devil are you, bud?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Yourself?
You must have, because you've been bugging me about coming on the show. I was quite surprised. I thought you'd be the last person to be sending in calls.
I'm bored. If
I'm bored and I've got nothing else to do, I'll go on the Mac Show, otherwise bollocks.
Well, maybe it's not even that. Maybe I feel slightly sorry for yourself.
Like, why?
Well, you know,
feel sorry for me.
You're struggling with the network and you need a bit of input. And so I thought, you know, I'll let my old friend out.
Mate, we're on our arse. You're absolutely right. It's tough as hell here.
I'll tell you what, you're really kicking ass in the podcasting arena, aren't you?
We're doing well. We've got some lovely people around the network, and we've got some good shows being produced, and it doesn't get better. I mean, we're all about making shows, that's it. I want to apologise to the people that have given us loads in Patreon, because we're up to nearly $500 a month now, which is amazing. Thank you so much to those people that donate. I did my very best to keep some shows going during the absence, but it kind of got against us. Paul Wheatley kept going with the Gamer Show and the Pocket Show, but then it kind of, his move to the new house overlapped with me working heavily, so we did nothing for a couple of weeks, so I do apologise for that. But no one's written to complain who actually gives a donation. The only letters of complaint I've got are from people who don't donate anything, so they kind of fell on deaf ears, really.
You can complain when you pay.
Yeah, that's right. You need to, as Mr. Schwood and Mr. Merritt say, you know, the bosses are the ones that are Patreon. If you want to donate to us and you want to be part of that, then it's patreon.com/British Tech Network. You can give just as little as a dollar. One of the things I said last night in the big show, if everyone that listened to this show donated $1, just $1, not 25 or 85 or anything like that, just $1,
we could afford, all of us could afford to do this professionally. So everyone that listens to this show, just give us $1. It's not including the other shows, just this show, $1. And we do this professionally. That means that the Daily Show would come back. So the 5-minute news show that I used to do every morning by 9 o'clock, that would come back every single day. The photo show would come back guaranteed because I'd have time to do it. There's a whole pile of shows that Mr. Wheatley wants to do but hasn't got the time to do. And we'd have loads and loads of other stuff. We've got the drone show that's starting up now, which is How to Build Your Own Drone. We recorded episode one of that on Wednesday night. We've got Help Show coming every other week. That would be every week instead. And we'd have something on for you to watch every single night of the week. So all you got to do is go to patreon.com/British Tech Network, donate $1. That's your job this week. Donate $1. And we would do this professionally, I promise. $1 per listener, and we will do this professionally. There's a big ask. Think about it. Do you want the Daily Show back? I know I do. I love doing that show. Now then, Greeny, first story up has got to be Apple release OS X Yosemite Public Beta 2.
Ah.
Did you download the original public beta then or not?
No. It was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago on the last show. I was told where to download it from, but I forgot, and I couldn't be bothered to find the link, so I'll just wait till it's released.
Right, okay. And now, I was fully expecting you to go into a rant about Mavericks there. Because
Here's the thing. I think I've got some good backing, some good support about how terrible Mavericks is. I mean, I've seen the reviews and I've had emails and everything saying how on the ball I am and correcting my sort of...
How many?
Well, I wouldn't like to embarrass you to say how many, but...
Three.
Quite a few.
One.
That's all I'm going to say.
One.
Yeah, all right, one.
Yeah, yeah. Your entire survey is based on one person writing in going, I think it's shit too.
Well, I'm sure I'm not on my own. John, I'm sure you're going to back me up on this, that Mavericks is one of the worst operating systems that Apple has ever released.
No, I've not really had many issues with it, to be honest. Anything specific or...?
Well, you would say that because you're a tart to Apple.
I'm not honest.
You're an Apple bitch. It's true.
No, if it caused me grief, I'd say. But for what I use it for, it doesn't seem to give me any particular bother.
It's the worst operating system Apple's released since 10.9.
Okay, that was a very good subtle joke. Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
I'm sorry we all didn't guffaw. The thing is, you've got your one email. You remember we set the thing? I said, right, send in Mavericks. And then whether it's good or bad. Yep.
Okay.
We had 42 replies to that request.
Tom?
So I had 42 emails from people saying whether Mavericks is good, Mavericks is shite.
And what was the...
Some of them were addressed to British Anti-Mac.
Okay.
Which is you, I think, not me, for once. You'll get yourself a reputation, boy. Now, what was your suggestion as to the percentage split as to thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, I'm going to guess probably 50-50, I would have thought.
No, it wasn't. It was 70-30 in favour of Mavericks.
Well, there it is.
But that surprised me because I expected that to be nearly 90% and 10% agreeing with you. But 30% of people out there that are using Mavericks don't like it. That's quite high, I think. I mean, okay, 42 people is hardly Gallup, is it? But 30% of people were bothered to write in and say, I don't like it, as opposed to those that did. So I would have said the motivation to write in would be higher for those that didn't like it rather than those that did. So actually, that might be a lot less. But 30%, that's quite high.
Yeah, but we're only up to 10.9.4 at the minute, aren't we? So they haven't really released many point releases, which normally indicates it's fairly stable. Yeah. I think on some of the others, it used to get up to 0.8, 0.9, didn't it, when they did point releases? But we've not really seen many point releases for Mavericks.
Puckery wants to call the episode "You're an Apple Bitch" already, so that's good. compared to Windows 8, OS 10 is perfect, says Batwinch. I just take that one then, Greeny. Compared to Windows 8, OS 10 is perfect, says Batwinch. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no question there, is there? Absolutely not.
Yeah, let's not be stupid.
But they are letting the site down a little bit. You must agree, surely. It crashes. Right, listen.
I've not had a crash in it.
Well, here's a case in point. I've been slagging off Aperture now for 3 years.
But that's got nothing to do with Mavericks.
I know. No, it's just like a case in point, like a...
Go on, carry on then, sorry.
Philosophical sort of discussion. I've been slagging off Aperture for years and years and years. And even Apple are slagging it off now. And exactly the same with Mavericks.
Discontinued it. There's a bit of a difference.
No, there's not. Who can possibly trust an operating system that's been given away for free? Because even Apple think it's shit. So they think, we can't possibly charge anybody any money for this load of old rubbish. So I have to give it away free. And also for, what's it called? What's it called? The next one?
Yosemite.
Yosemite. Right. And even that's going to be for free as well. They have no trust in their own operating system.
If you're
and what does that say?
If you've just jumped into the middle of this podcast and you think this is a repeat of all the ones that Grinny was on a few weeks ago, it's not. It is a brand new episode recorded on the 22nd of August, but Grinny's touting out the same old stuff.
Yeah, but you still asked me the question and I'm just telling you what I believe.
You hate Grinny.
Don, I mean, you have, so you do Screencast Online,
mm-hmm.
And as a footnote, I'd like to say the best sort of...
All right. Get on with it.
...learning platform there is. I will say that.
Go on then.
And Don, I think you're a very charming, very handsome, and a very lovely man.
Awesome.
So what's your opinion, Don?
My opinion? Well, you know, I mean, we know why it's free. It's not because they don't trust it or they don't think they can charge for it. It's free to get as many people to adopt the new operating system as they can, so that you know they get a higher number of people on the new operating system, so the developers don't have to keep hold of previous versions and they can all write for the new version. So, saying that, I found it to be very stable. I've found it to be very stable. I had no major issues. I've had the occasional crash. I won't deny it. Even had the occasional kernel panic now and again, but on the whole, you know, seeing for how long we've been using it for like a year now, isn't it? Nearly a year. No, it's been fine.
Yeah, there you go, mate. Go on, Ben.
I'll take back everything I said.
Go on, Ben.
Yeah,
I completely agree with Don. I have had absolutely no trouble with Mavericks whatsoever. I haven't even had so much as a crash.
No, I haven't either. It's great. And I went out and bought the new Retina MacBook Pro when the specs were upgraded week before last, and it rocks.
Mm.
It flies. No. Superb.
And the funny thing is, Leopard, and both Leopard and Snow Leopard, which I paid $130 for a piece, they messed up my Mac to the point where I had to actually call Apple support back in the day. So, I mean, actually paying for something doesn't mean you'll get a good product.
No, exactly. Greeny, the other thing as well, the point Don made there about developers being able to update with confidence because they know there's a greater point. All you've got to do is just bend over and take it because it's for the greater good.
I would prefer to pay... You know, whatever it used to be. I used to be about £60, didn't it, for each upgrade?
Well, it was 25, wasn't it, for Lion?
I did.
That was the last one. It was £25 for Lion.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was the last one they charged for.
But you know, it's like, I'd rather pay the money and know that I'm getting a good operating system than a sort of this rushed to market. I mean, in some ways, why do they have to release a new operating system every year? What's the point? I mean, it's almost like they try to make up new features and sort of bolt them on and chuck it out just so they can catch the headlines and stuff like that.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Much prefer that they sort of took their time, made it super solid, and didn't rush that sort of development cycle and charged me for the work that they'd done.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Leopard lasted probably nearly 2 years, didn't it, before it was upgraded to Snow Leopard?
Yeah, well, they did Snow Leopard, didn't they, which was like a... it wasn't a feature release, it was a stability release.
Yeah.
So that was good. But the thing is that with a lot of these new operating systems, a lot of it is hidden under the hood. I mean, they're constantly changing or improving the, you know, the infrastructure and the tools that they give the developers to write the applications. So although it might seem, and we do get a bit of gloss on the top as well, but I think most of the updates or most of the changes are actually under the hood that we don't actually see new APIs and stuff. And it all bodes well for the future, really.
Whatever.
I mean, Yosemite's got tons of stuff in there, especially with this interoperability between it and iOS 8 now. So that's going to be a fairly major release. So I hope they do get that, you know, stable and ready for prime time, because there's a lot going on.
Plus, I mean, at this time, you're getting to the point where the OSs are fairly mature, and the combined surfaces are more important than the operating system itself. So you pretty much have to have a concurrently timed release.
Not convinced. Winrider in the chat room says $158 for Tiger, $128 for Leopard. He much prefers the fact that it's free, and I couldn't agree more. I think that's excellent. I've just put Mavericks on my old MacBook Pro here, and it's running great. No worries at all. Lovely, and it's a 2008. So,
you know what I miss?
What do you miss, Greeny?
I miss getting in the car and going to my closest Apple shop and buying the new operating system or the new version of Logic or the new version of whatever, Final Cut or iWork or whatever. I'm not so keen on this downloady business these days. It sort of takes the magic away slightly, doesn't it?
How much are you willing to pay for that privilege then?
What? To do what?
How much are you willing to pay to have to drive to your local nearest Apple reseller and buy
it? It's not. You know, I'm sure I'm not on my own, but it's like that magical day that you get in the car and you drive to Birmingham or London or Manchester or Liverpool or whatever, and you go to the Apple store and you sort of plonk your cash down, and then you get back in the car and you've got this beautifully boxed sort of set of discs that you know that you're going to spend the afternoon caressing and slotting into the.
I'm with Greeny on this. Hang on, because I mean, this isn't going to translate well for an American, but there's a certain thing when you get a new product or something like that, you go home with it, and I said this to an American guy once, and he looked at me like I was an absolute lunatic. But I said, because he bought himself some new fishing gear while we were out. I said, you're going to look at that under the bed sheets tonight with a torch. And he looked at me and said, a torch? And I'm like, a flashlight. And he went, oh, right, because a torch would be like a big naked flame. Why would I take that into bed with me? But I said, you can look under bed sheets with a flashlight. And he went, well, I don't get that. I said, that's the thing you did when you were a kid. You bought and like you went and got your Airfix soldiers kit and you took it back home and you played with it all day until you couldn't see straight anymore. And then all of them had to come and they were either lined up on the side of your bed when you went to sleep on the bedside table, or they actually were in the box, still in the bed with you. Or you take your Johnny What's It toy to bed, or you take your new car to bed with you. And Greeny's right, there isn't a box anymore with Leopard on it that you can take to bed with you at night.
You know, I don't think I ever... I did that as a kid, but I don't think I've ever been out to a shop and bought any Mac software at all, ever, in my life.
Oh, I have. I bought Leopard from the Apple store.
Everything I must have done, mind you, I must have done one back in the early days. To get probably going back to Tiger or something like that, but so long ago now I can't remember. I mean, I much prefer the download, the instant gratification of having a new piece of software and then just being able to download it and install it, and more often than not, flawlessly as well. You know, it's really clever how they manage to do these upgrades in situ. So no, I'm all for downloads.
Rawat in the chat room is trying to put sensible stories in to try and get us to talk something sensible on the show about Apple. Forget it, mate. You're wasting your time. Roscoe says, that's fine and dandy if you've got an Apple store that's next to you. Good point.
I want a CD drive. I mean,
see, the people who have fond memories of opening up Mac software are the ones with a place that you could actually find Mac software.
Yeah, there's no resellers, by the way.
Damn stuff.
Birmingham was always a pain in the ass. I always reckon it was devoid of somewhere to buy Mac software. There were always like you know, in St John's Street, there were like little back street places, and you go in there and they'd sell audio gear and they'd happen to do Mac software as well. As there was no Mac resellers that I remember in Birmingham when I forgot my first Mac. So, unless Greeny can tell me I'm wrong before the Apple Store was created.
No, I don't think so.
I can't remember.
There was
any.
One in Wolverhampton.
I always got my stuff from people like DV247, that kind of people. You know, the Digital Village did it, and it was just because they had Macs in there because they did music stuff, or you go to a graphics place and they had Macs, so you get Apple software from them. But I don't remember anywhere that was an Apple store that did resale of Apple software.
But surely, you know, the point I'm trying to make really is some of the magic is taken away. Okay, let's step back even further. And so you've got your ZX Spectrum or your Commodore 64, and you go to W.A. Smith's or the game shop, and it's all lined up there, and you've got these cassette tapes with all this beautiful imagery on there, and you get so excited about, and you take each tape out and you turn it around and you read the description, and you've sort of gone through what was the magazine called now? I don't know, whatever.
Mayfair.
Could be.
Go on.
and you get yourself you emotionally commit to this. And this instant gratification sort of takes away from that emotional commitment. In fact, it ruins it. And so what we've been given now is this sort of shallow load of old rubbish from Apple that's given away for free. And we're not emotionally committed to it. And it's ruined the whole sort of, I don't know, the vibe, I suppose. Not to get too spiritual, but it does.
But they're not emotionally committed to you either, though, Greenie. That's the trouble.
Sorry.
They're not emotionally committed to you either, though, Greenie.
Maybe that's the difference. Whereas Steve Jobs was emotionally committed to it. Tim Boring Cook is not emotionally committed to Apple. He's just after the dollar.
Tell you what, though, Greenie, I've paid my dues. I've got the old Spectrum magazines and typed in 4 pages of code and gone back and debugged it and everything. So I'm all for instant gratification now. Couldn't go through all that again.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got off a cruise to download it, didn't you? I mean,
yeah, there you go.
I'm enjoying a cruise with a wife. Stops off in Liverpool. I say, I'm just going to go home and download the latest software. But that ain't what, I wait that download.
Well, it's impossible absolute. To do it on the cruise boat, to tell you.
It went down like a lead balloon, I bet, with your missus, mate.
No. We had nowhere else to go, so.
We got no friends. What's the point? the news, then. Are we excited about iPhone 6? Allegedly, 9th of September. Now, here's the thing. If you're in London, on the 9th of September, there will be an event. It will be at Tiger, which is a nightclub in Piccadilly. And we've got a fantastic area there. The London Mac User Group have absolutely pulled them. I mean, they did a great stunt with pulling off the London Transport Museum as a venue. But now we've got Tiger. We've got a big screen on the wall with a whole load of space. There's a bar there as well with fairly reasonably priced drinks as well. They're not horrific. We can have up to 300 people in this room. So, you know, the Elmog events are getting bigger and bigger. If you want to come and join us, it's at Tiger, starting from 5:30 on the 9th of September, which I think is a Tuesday, isn't it? So you've got to be there. It'll be tons and tons of fun. I'll be there, and we'll be broadcasting live, because one of the things that Tiger brings with it is internet. And we've also got Cat5 internet, so we can actually plug in to their internet system, and we can definitely get out with really good quality broadband. So we'll definitely be broadcasting from the venue. There is no question of that. We'll do a live broadcast of the whole thing, but that shouldn't stop you coming down. If you can be there, and you'll be on camera, and everyone else will get to watch it, and we'll publish it. But so that's Tiger, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday the 9th of September for iPhone 6 come wearables-ish type launch. It's looking like it's going to have a pronounced camera on the back, which means there's a bit more gone into the processor, I would have said. Everyone in favour of that or not in favour of that? Because it does leave the lens a touch more exposed than I thought it would.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I'm no big fan of these super thin devices anyway. I mean, I'd rather they made it a few millimetres thicker to pack a bit more battery life in there, to be honest. I'm not really
totally agree.
You know, over-enamoured. Although the iPod Touch is phenomenally thin, and they are talking that the iPhone's going to be as thin as the current iPod Touch. But, you know, I'd still prefer to go with something slightly thicker. And I think that's the reason why, you know, is it for the optics? They've had to leave the lens protruding by, you know, half a millimeter or something, just to give a bit of depth in the optics. But let's not have super thin. Let's have something a bit more practical.
Foxconn has had a bit of a mole leak out, and there's definitely a 4.7-inch phone and a 5.5-inch iPhone 6. They're talking about 7.7 millimetres thick with the protruding camera and weighing in at 184 grams or 6.5 ounces. And that's what got released, which actually does look like a graphic off of a ZX Spectrum game. But you can
looks
see
it's squashed as well.
It does. They've gone for an uber thin body, but then you've got this little bit of nipply camera thing pointing out on the top. The camera nipple. Are you going to get one, Greeny?
An iPhone 6?
Yeah, if it comes out. And if so, if it's in 4.7 or 5.5, which one are you going to get?
Well, definitely the bigger one. As I've said previously, and I don't want to sort of keep banging on, but, you know, you're on the train and this guy whips out his phone, you know, and it's a nice big one.
Thank you, Max Bygraves. So the bloke on the train whips it out and it's a nice big one. Yeah, go on.
And you look at your, like, tiny iPhone and you think, you know, what am I doing wrong in life? So, what was the question again?
Right, if there's an iPhone 6 given on September 9th, A, will you buy one? And if if we assume, yes, you will be buying one, then will you be buying the larger one or the smaller one? And is there anything on there you want to see that isn't there?
Bigger, always.
Always bigger. Jolly good.
The thing is, whether or not they bring both out at the same time, that's up for debate, isn't it?
Oh, really? You think? Talk us through it.
Yeah, well, I've not heard anything recently, but, I mean, the original rumours were that they'd bring out the 4.7 in September and then the 5.5 wouldn't be until in the new year. But they couldn't, if they were going to do that, they couldn't pre-announce the 5.5 because that put a lot of people off getting the 4.7 until the new one came out. So, I don't know, they might bring them both out in
September.
They've
got to come together, surely. Surely.
Mm.
They're going to be together, aren't they? They have to be.
Yeah, I would think it would be more sensible, wouldn't it? Stop people second-guessing.
I mean, Don, I mean, in all seriousness, sorry about the sort of slightly carry-on humour then, but it's the Nexus 5, it's when people have got them on the train, and I travel on train pretty much every day,
mm-hmm.
and I look at my crappy little iPhone 5, and I think, I want one of them. I really do. So Android is a great operating system, but I think even Google will admit that it's not as polished as iOS because it hasn't been around as long as iOS.
You want a Windows phone then, Greeny?
I want a crappy Windows phone.
Oh, dude, you are so far. I mean, here's right. Here's how far out of touch you are. Now, Don, do you know Alison Sheridan?
Yes.
Right.
Of course I do, yeah.
What was Alison Sheridan's pick on this week's Pocket Show? What would be the last thing you'd expect her to pick?
A Windows phone?
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
And Alison Sheridan picked a Windows 635 as her recommendation on the Pocket Show this week. She was there in a capacity of doing iOS and talking about iOS, and she recommended the Nokia 635. Now, my wife's got the 635. I bought it for her. It is a beautiful little phone. It's superb. And it's only £110 or whatever it was. It was stupidly cheap. Ellis has got the 535, or the 530, and that was £75. SIM free, and it's a great little smartphone. The Nokia 1020, I've just earned a fortune using this to send pictures to a company so that they can put them on Twitter, and they were going, wow, these are fantastic photos. And of course then I've got the DNG, so when they go, oh, have you got that in a higher res? Yes, actually I have. And that, I love my phone. I will never ever get, I mean, I found out last month that they're going to stop making these in September, so if you want a 1020 you've got to buy it now. But I went and bought one straight away as soon as I heard that, and it was only a rumour, because I'm that attached to this. I cannot do without this phone.
Their leadership is so good that they're obviously so committed to this. Like, you know, Steve Ballmer, I mean, he's there, he's committed to Microsoft.
He's left today.
He's not going anywhere, is he?
Oh, he's quit today.
Right now he's committed to watching the Clippers lose games and teaching.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is a reflection of how much confidence they got in their own sort of...
I just missed that. That was Greeny actually being up with the news.
That he's quit and run away, basically. He got the sack because of it, didn't he?
I just missed the fact that Greeny, that was a really subtle joke there, Greeny. I'm so sorry, mate, but I've only just got that you've actually kept up with the news and you know about Barmer.
I wouldn't like to, I don't want to sort of jeopardise my
dispelling the myth.
Village idiot.
Dispelling the myth right there.
But is the Nokia camera thing, the phone thing, because of the camera? Is that the thing that sells it for you? Or?
But this one does for me. But yeah. Actually, Sharon's 635 mm-hmm. is, I mean, it hasn't got a selfie camera. It's only got an outward camera. But the quality of the picture that it takes, it's 5 megapixels, and it's as good a 5 megapixel image as I've ever seen. It does light balance fairly well. It's not so brilliant in low light, but it's got a little flash in it, and the flash isn't bad. It's got the same Windows interface, the 8.1 interface. It upgrades to that. She loves it for checking Facebook. She loves for checking her emails and that kind of stuff, and going on Twitter. And then her big thing is taking pictures of the kids when they're out for a day, and it's got massive space for that. Plus, you can shove a 64 gig micro SD in it and boost your storage space right up. And it's got OneDrive up to 5 gig, and it's only £110 to buy as a phone. So I was blown away. I think it's a massive value for money. The low-end market for Nokia Windows Phone is superb. And if you look at this one, this is £350 now to buy. It's dirt cheap, SIM-free.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say this. If you're considering Android, don't. You should be buying Windows Phone instead.
Yeah.
When I bought my 5S here, I was actually considering a Windows phone, but ultimately decided against it because of kind of the lack of the app ecosystem. But I mean, with that operating system, Microsoft did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it's running really well. I think there's a huge influence of Nokia in it more than.
I do think though that the iPhone's poised for a mega quarter. There's so much pent up demand for these larger phones, and you know, if they do bring one home to roost, it's going to sell like gangbusters, really.
Well, I always said go ahead.
If they do come out the 4.7 and the 5.5, Tim Cook isn't going to have to find himself a new swimming pool filled with money. It's not going to be big enough.
Yeah, I mean, on that alone, we've got the share price has hit $100. Mm. So they split all their shares apart to try and con us, as I did say, and lo and behold, they're now starting this rally back up towards the $700 mark. And I always said right at the start, they've only done this so that the share price can climb, because at the $650 to $700 mark, the market was looking at it going, no, we're not valuing that any higher. We're not valuing that. And they were stopping valuing it just on the fact that they were seeing this massive number. And now that they've split the shares down and they've got the lower number, we'll get back up to $500 a share in no time. And they aren't worth that. There's a huge bubble waiting to burst around Apple, I think, on the shares.
You think so?
What do you think, Don?
I'm not a financial expert by any means, but it always irritates me when the results come out and, you know, the analysts go bananas because they haven't matched the analysts' targets. They've beaten their own targets, but they haven't matched the analysts' targets. So I don't know. It's all a bit of a mystery to me. But I constantly think that Apple are always undervalued as far as the analysts are concerned. They can't seem to. It's they always keep harking back to the Apple of old. You know, when they were near bankruptcy, and I think people just can't believe that they've come so far out ahead of that point that they, you know, without a major, major catastrophe, they could never really slide back to that. You know, they've got so much cash in the bank. They still keep making fantastic products. The R&D budget is bigger now than it's ever been. So, you know, they're looking at the future pipeline. So, you know, the products they're working on that we won't see probably for 2 or 3 years are under development now, and they're spending more than they ever did on research and development. They've got, you know, a fantastic production process whereby they can produce millions and millions of these complex devices for an immediate launch in near enough complete secrecy. They've got the strength of their size to buy component parts, you know, dirt cheap or at least at a good price. And, you know, they constantly keep getting bashed by the analysts, and the share price has been up and down like I don't know what. So it always confuses and perplexes me.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, BlackBerry was Apple the holiday season of 2006. So, you never know when the next big thing is going to come out and completely throw everything out of whack.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure something will happen. I mean, Apple will have a shelf life. I mean, look at Sony. You know, Sony were a major brand, and they've taken a dip recently. So the same will happen to Apple, but it's probably not in the near future. Perhaps the medium to long-term future, you know, things might equal out. But in the short term, I don't think they've got any dangers.
Yeah, I mean, the chances are as well, from what we're talking about on the September the 9th event, the suggestions that iPad Air 2 is going to come out with 2 gig of RAM in it to give it far, far more power. So you've got that multitasking view idea is going to work much better. We're talking about 2 versions of the iPhone 6 coming out, as well as you could see an upgrade by default then to the iPad Mini as well as.
Mm-hmm. And you've got the whole continuity thing, you know, between Mac and iOS. That's going to be huge for current Mac users and even iOS users. You've got the integration between apps now as well. So, in 6 months' time, all the applications that we use now that we're using these little silos and find it very difficult to interchange information are going to be completely rewritten and be a lot more easier to use as a proper platform. I've always had the problem with iOS in that it's great for single task jobs. But if you want to do anything serious with it, it's always a struggle, at least it is for me.
Yeah, it is. It's awful. It's pathetic. At cut and paste, even.
Yeah.
It screws that up regularly. Greeny, do you want to do a pitch for Android while you're here? You seemed upset
yeah,
there.
I sort of will. I won't lie. So I've got
declare your interest.
Some connections with Google and some interest in there. When I say this, I mean it from a totally disconnected point of view. But Android is—it's not bad, is it? Really, I've got an Android phone and I've got an Android tablet, and I love the freedom. And so I can sort of hack it. I can sort of mess around with the software. I can write my own software for it without having to bloomin' go to Apple, cap in hand, and all that. So, you know. Windows Phone is all well and good. Now, I was at a certain software company the other day, and I won't say who they are.
Okay.
And this might sound boring, but if you know what MDM is, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do, I was saying, well, you know, are you bringing MDM to the Windows platform as well? Because they're doing it for iOS and also for, obviously, Android. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not saying no in the long term, but at the moment, Windows has got no traction at all in the business sphere. It's even slagging off in some ways the operating system. I'm sure it's very good, but it has no traction because Windows is totally. I suppose you could level the same criticism at Apple that they're a self-contained. Ecosystem or software ecosystem that has no interest in expanding to other platforms. Whereas Android is. I mean, is it my imagination or didn't Windows just produce an Android phone that was pulled very quickly? I realize that. But even them are realizing that actually. Created an Android phone.
They've got an Android phone coming out that's skinned like it's Windows 8, but it's still Android under the hood.
Yeah, the Nokia X series, which they've already pulled.
Oh, they pulled them now. I've been up with it.
They pulled them within a month or something. There was obviously some sort of backstory going on.
Lasted longer than the kin then.
Maybe it was like a Nokia agreement they had with Android or something like that. But I think I love Android. Don't get me wrong. But I suppose because I used to work for Apple and I've got a long connection and familiarity with that software, iOS still is the leader for me, and Android is a very close number two.
So Don Biner 6, of course.
Yeah, bigger or smaller? Pardon?
Bigger or smaller?
If they come out at the same time, I'll probably go for the bigger one. To be honest.
Yeah,
because I'm getting old now that the eyesight's failing. I do find the iPhone 5 to be a little on the small side, to be honest. It's quite difficult to read some things. But I'd go for the 5.5 and see how that works.
You're all saying stuff I was saying a year ago. See, when I changed that, I said it's too small. I like the bigger icons. I'm an old guy. See, there we go. Ben, are you getting one?
6L all the way.
Right, and the large one.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some experience with Cali Lewis's Note 2 and Note 3. You can just do so much more on that 5.5 or 5.7 inch screen than you can on my little iPhone 5.
Yeah.
So it used to always be that people used to look strange with the big phones holding them up to make a call, but I never make a call on my phone, so I'll never have the need to lift it up to my head, so it'll never look silly on me. So.
What do you mean you never make a call on your phone?
I don't care if I look strange. I never make a phone call on my phone.
Very, very rarely.
So why do you have a phone then?
For the data. And, you know, it's nice to be to have it as a...
How do people contact you if you're not at home?
They don't. Who wanted to contact me?
Oh, Don. Oh, you poor thing.
It's mainly iMessage and stuff like that. So I don't really need a phone, to be honest. It's just the data service that I use on the iPhone all the time.
Oh, if you've got Don's phone number, call him right now because he needs your call. Yeah? Ring Don.
No.
Poor old Don. Don.
I think there is a cultural change in our lives, especially maybe people who work in IT, because this morning somebody couldn't get a hold of me and I was there, but I just don't pick up the phone anymore. Mm. For me, it's IM or email or, you know, whatever digital method of conversation, Google Hangout, Skype. I don't use the old-fashioned telephone. And when I don't pay my bill and they cut me off, I couldn't give a monkey's in some senses because that's not the way I use digital technology anymore. Yeah. That's not the way I communicate.
Yeah, I would agree in that if my phone goes off on my iPhone, unless it's someone I know, I'll answer it then if it does go off, which is very, very infrequently. If it's an unknown number, I won't answer it. And I find as well that, I think I tweeted this a couple of days ago, that the number of horrible calls I keep getting on my landline now, I just want to get rid of it because I would think 75% of the calls I get now on my landline are all, you know, bogus calls. They're all cold calling or scams or whatever.
Are you referenced with the preference service?
I think we are, but we still get loads of them.
We don't get a lot.
Recently, this week, I've been getting like virtually every morning around about the same time. Just it goes off, I answer it, and there's no one at the other end. And then 10 seconds later, it says goodbye. And you think, ooh, that's a bit scary. It's an automated goodbye. It's not something else. But I don't know. You know, the whole audio phone technology is just, I think it's, might have seen it today.
I want rid of our phones here. But the only reason we don't is the fact that I think we're required to have a phone line with the Virgin Broadband service, which I find ridiculous because it doesn't come in on a phone line. And the other one is Sharon says, "Oh, we can't because my mum rings it."
Yeah,
but everyone else, even my parents, are quite happy to ring our mobiles.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason we're keeping it is for her mother. Well, so fine, tell your mum to give me 15 quid a month.
Well, that's the only reason I keep the phone and also the cable service. You know, I could do without cable tomorrow, but you know, other members of the family they do watch certain programs that are only available on cable, so we keep it for them. But
yeah, the other one we've got at the moment, which is the biggest bane, we don't get a lot of advertising calls, I have to admit, but we've got one. A lady named Samantha Kelly ran up a bad debt, and she put our phone number down. So we get people ringing up saying, "Hi, can I speak to Samantha Kelly?" No. Well, I need to speak to her because she owes us a lot of money. I need to talk to her about how she's going to repay it. Well, you have to find out where she lives then because she doesn't live here. Well, this is a number we've got. Yeah, fine. What's the address you've got? And they won't tell me the address. I say, so what address are you calling? Well, we're calling this address. Bad luck. Put the phone down. Piss off. Yeah. They're opening a new store. Dubai is getting the largest Apple store anywhere in the world. Which is, if you're going to sell overpriced products to someone, then go and sell it where there's people that are rich and shit in gold toilets.
That's the moral of the story. I was quite surprised to see that because it just so happens that I'll be in Dubai in March. And it's supposed to be opening in February. Oh. So I'll do it. I'll do a report from...
do it. You've got to dial in. You've got to dial into the show.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll do the show whenever you're here. Guaranteed. Superb. And voice over LTE is something that Apple is continuing to look into, unquote, so that carriers can send signal over LTE. There's a bit of this that made me think, I reckon Apple aren't doing that. I reckon Apple are working out that they can do voice over LTE because effectively what they could end up doing then is cutting big chunks out of the telecoms companies. How many people don't have a connection, even if they're in the street anymore? Apple could just run their own telephone service and it'd be dirt cheap for all of us. Superb if they did. Oh, aye, aye.
That'd be nice, but I don't think the governments would be really interested in that.
Well, they couldn't stop it. There's nothing that they can... If they've got the wire system and they've got the hand system, then as long as they're behaving responsibly, the EU couldn't stop them. They probably would need a telecoms license, maybe, but...
Here, at least here, they'd get them on antitrust regulations.
But for what, though? They're saying, right, if you want an iPhone 5, we'll give you a cheaper way of using the iPhone 5. We're not telling you, we're not cornering the phone market. That's rubbish.
Yeah, but those telecoms here have a ungodly amount of say.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Gold-plated Mac Pros are an essential, says Bookery, and also diamond-crusted computers are required, says Batwench. Hence the Dubai story.
Yes.
That'd be good. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the Network Union. They are absolutely fab people. They deal with large area systems, you know, WANs, that kind of stuff. And so if you've got a WAN or SIP or Ethernet connectivity issue, then you can call them. Now, who should be calling them? Right, well, if you're a small to medium enterprise like myself and you've got BT Broadband, give them a call because they'll take over the management of your account and they'll actually do a great job supporting you and liaising with BT and making sure you get the right service and looking at your home system and that kind of thing. So SMEs, give them a call. Now, if you work in a place that's got a large WAN, then give them a call and see what they can do for you because they will help you with that. They've also got support for a BT Office 365, Everything Everywhere Mobile, and whole bundles that can go along with that. They'll help support you with MPLS as well if you've got MPLS systems, and which is fantastic, and you should give them a call. And also, if you're a consultant who is providing a service to someone who's got a large WAN, or if you're helping write code or doing some desk support or something like that for them, then tell whoever's the buyer to give them a call and say that you got them through the British Tech Network. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the Network Union's link and give them your email address. They will only keep it for the purposes of calling you back. They won't be using it for ongoing spammy marketing, and they will not be selling it on to anyone else. It is just used for the purposes of getting in touch because you asked them to. Nothing else. And they're the supporters of the giveaway, and we'll start that up again next month. We'll have an August giveaway for the Patreon subscribers. If you're in America, fear not, because Masergy, who are based in Dallas, they are also agents for Masergy. So if you've got MPLS and WAN and all that kind of stuff and you're in the States and you know that Masergy are running it, then give them a contact and see what they can do to help you out. So that's it. SMEs, people who work in large systems, or even if you're providing consultancy to large system areas, then give them a call and see if they can help you. They're wonderful. Thank you very much for your support, Robert. We do appreciate it. And also, of course, we've got UK2. They're fantastic. They give us all the bandwidth for all the shows, unlimited server space, massive deals at the moment for you, 20% off your domain, still using the offer codes, and the business that we're giving them, apparently, they are very happy with. So thanks to everyone who's buying their stuff through UK2. Makes a huge difference that we haven't got to pick up the cost of £400 a month for server space. It really is cool. Right then, it's time for the cool things. Donald, what do you have for us?
Right, well, for my cool thing today, it's an iOS app. It's only really going to be of any use to you if you have a Panasonic camera, because it's the Panasonic Image app. And I've got two Panasonic cameras, and it's brilliant. Basically, what it does is connects to the camera using Wi-Fi, and then you can both remotely control the camera, so you can zoom, you can change white balance and stuff like that. And also, once you've taken video or images on your camera, you can also transfer them to the iPad, and then there are some little modules within the app that enable you to then send it onto Twitter and stuff like that. So I found it invaluable with the video camera. I can set the video camera up on the tripod. I can get the iPad working, switch on Wi-Fi on the camera, and it will do one of these standalone Wi-Fi networks, or you can connect it to, you know, the local area network as well. And then I can sort of, if the camera's far away, I can actually see the live view from the camera, and then I can go in and change all the controls. I can focus and stuff like that. Fantastic little application. It's a free app. Of course, the cameras aren't free, but if you've got a recent Panasonic camera, it's well worth checking out.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Mm-hmm. Didn't get that. Right, brilliant. Thank you, sir. Next one, Ben, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
There's this little cult unknown show that's premiering its new season this Saturday. Some of you might have heard of it. It's called Doctor Who.
Oh, God. You're all excited.
Yeah, it's the premiere of the great Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor.
Oh, steady on.
And personally, I can't wait. Mostly for Jenna Coleman, but, you know, there's got to be some good stuff in there from Capaldi, too.
Excellent. He's a good actor. I do like him. So, whether he's a good doctor or not, or whether he'll beat Matt Smith, I don't know. I'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Good one. And Greeny, now then, what have you got for us, sir?
Well, I was going to do a pick about diving, but... Dylan Thomas, the application or the e-book has nothing to do with diving, so... I'm going to save that one until the next time. But saying that, I've got a good backup, or two backups, actually, if you don't mind. So if you've got an Android phone and a Mac and you're trying to tether them for data connection, you have to do it over a cable, sort of natively, OS X doesn't support it. But there is a Kext, as we call it, which is a kernel extension that called Horndis, H-O-R-N-D-I-S. And it's totally free. And it's this sort of tiny driver, for want of a better word, really, that you sort of install into your Mac, and it works perfectly. So if you're sort of subscribed to
Through network.
Say again.
You set it up through network. You set it up through the network on system preferences.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work with Android.
Oh, according to this, I've just gone onto Horndis, and it's saying that it's a project from GitHub, but the guy shows the screenshots on the how-tos. He's creating a network connection, like you would in Wi-Fi or Ethernet or...
Oh, okay. So. Well, either way, you need a driver, and this is the driver, and it's totally free of charge.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a USB tethering driver for Mac OS X.
Yeah, but it sets up in networking system preferences. It gives it an IP and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, whenever you whatever tethering method you've got, you have to go in there anyway. But the point being is, if you've got a Android device and you want to tether it with your Mac to get internet access when you're in a hotel or wherever you are, natively, OS X does not support it. You have to have a driver or a Kext, which is what this is.
Don't Google have an application that connects? Because Windows Phone has an application that connects.
But I'm sure that's very good. And Windows Phone, but no.
Dear.
As far as I know, this is the only way to tether your Android device to your Mac if you're in a hotel and you want to get internet.
Oh, dear.
4G, 4G internet connection.
Oh, dear.
And the second one...
Oh, God.
on a slightly more somber note, is Robin Williams. So I think we'll all miss him.
I think so too. I think I think it's terribly sad. I have to say. I mean, when celebs die, I kind of like, well, that's sad, but I didn't know them. But when I saw that Robin Williams was dead, I was close to blubbing because he was pretty special. I didn't know him either, but you kind of felt that you were seeing the real person rather than. But obviously, you weren't as well because he was manically depressed, wasn't he?
I mean,
called Comic Genius.
I mean, it.
Go ahead, Ben.
It's one of those really, really crappy ironies that the funniest man alive was so down that he had to go out that way.
Definitely. Well, they always say
so many laughs.
The biggest clowns are the biggest sadness, aren't they? So it's always been the way. The people that laugh and joke the most at school and things like that are the ones that end up doing it. My cool thing is Keith Chegwin's five funny jokes.
How can we get from Robin Williams to Keith Chegwin?
Keith Chegwin's a good man. He's a funny bloke, mate. Chegger's five funny jokes. It's 99p in the iTunes store for iPad or for iPhone. And it's just a collection of jokes. You can search as well. So if you want mother-in-law jokes, you can type in mother-in-law in the criteria and it'll find jokes for you. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in there. There's some that are side splitters and there's some that are real groaners and there's some that aren't funny either. But generally speaking, I laughed a lot when I looked at through them. So go and check it out. 99 pence to buy. It's worth burning a pound over, isn't it? Keith Chegwin's five funny jokes. It's all the jokes he's picked up over 50 years nearly in the entertainment industry. Well worth it.
My dad used to know Larry Grayson.
Really?
Hmm.
And?
My dad said that Larry Grayson was a total arse.
Yeah. Which I don't know how you got from Keith Chegwin to Larry Grayson, but that's fine. Is there a link? No, that's just your brain shooting off in one direction after another.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Synapses are linked together and Keith Chegwin is... You know, in some ways...
You look like you're having trouble with that.
Well, Cheggers can sort of laugh at himself, can't he? He's got this sort of persona, this, and I really admire that, he can laugh at himself.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely right. I was close to getting him on this afternoon. I said, do you want to come on and promote the app? And he said he can't. He's in Chepstow. He got a call when he was going to Chepstow. But he was going to come on the show otherwise. So there you go. Give it a try. You'll like it. It's good. Well worth it. Where can we get a hold of you, Donald?
Right, well, the usual places, if you want the weekly tutorials across on screencastonline.com. I will give the new website just another little push, and that's the screencastsonline.academy. And there's just the one course over there at the minute, the iWork course, but that's Pages, Numbers, and Keynote for Mac and iOS, about 5 hours worth of stuff. If you want to get a discount, there's a special discount code as well, which is 40 OFF, so 40% off, and that's screencastonline.academy, and of course over on Twitter as usual as Don McAllister.
Brilliant, and you'll find me and Greeny always recommended in the Screencast Online.
Thank you very much.
Most definitely.
Rubbish.
Oh, shut up, Greeny. Batwench says, I love Keith Chegwin. There you go. You got a fan from the valleys, mate. Enjoy.
Cheggers plays pop.
Well, Cheggers, if she had her way, Cheggers plays Batwench. That might be a title yet. Where are you, Ben?
You can find me regularly at geekbeat.tv, and if you're a real glutton for punishment, you can see my weekly show called The Tech Hangout at thetechhangout.com.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Thank you very much for coming in. And last but by no means least, Greeny Boy.
British Mac, if you... interested. You know, I'm going to move my podcasts, I think, seasonal.
What, are you going to do one every four 3 months?
That's what I was thinking.
The summer.
The autumn edition, the spring edition.
Yeah. It's rather jolly, isn't it? It's like, my last one was in May, and we're just at the cusp of the end of summer. So I thought if I could knock another one out, aye. And
go on.
And then, so I'll get one in the summer. It'll just about qualify for summer, and then I can do one in the autumn. I'm sure you're getting the pattern.
I got the pattern when you said I'm going to do them seasonally. So yeah, yes. thanks for the dumbing down though. However, it did help.
Well, you said go on, so I thought I had to talk further about how the seasons work, and or by full moons, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? I could release a new podcast on the night of a full moon.
Won't you have to do it every 28 days then, though? That's the flaw in your plan, dude.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Based on one a year for the last 3 years.
I tell you what.
I find seasonal a bit ambitious.
You think I should step it down to bi-seasonal or possibly yearly?
Biannual.
Well, based on your love of Robin Williams, mate, bicentennial would probably fit.
Well, maybe every third year if you're ambitious.
Your podcasts are like Faulty Towers, mate. You're two seasons and stop, so they're held as classics. That's all you need. That's all you got to do is an explanation and then give up.
I'm not giving up. Nope, British Mac will never, ever go away.
I'm not going to give up. I'm just not going to do it. As long as I've got the intention of doing it, I haven't given up. But whether I do it or not...
You can show your face, Rankin. You haven't been here for like a month or something.
Dude, I've been doing this for 5 years. 6 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 6 years and I haven't missed more than probably 10 weeks a year.
No. How long has it been since the last British Tech Network Mac show?
The last Mac show was 5 weeks ago.
5 weeks. 5 weeks. So I think we're slightly on a par.
I think you could dream on, boy. You're. Where was the last one? May, he says. We're on a par. Yeah, bollocks. If you want to duel, mate, that's fine. But at least bring more than a knitting needle to take me on with.
Well, I'm enjoying the band. And anyway, Don, you can talk.
Why? What have I done?
Yours are...
He's every week.
Fairly sporadic, aren't they?
Yeah, sometimes it's a Friday, sometimes it's a Saturday. I need to button that down.
Yeah, what people need is consistency, Don. How dare you?
Will, I mean, I do this as a full-time job, so I know it must be difficult for you guys trying to do it around work as well, so...
Yeah, we'll see.
I won't say anything.
Don the Mac. Batwind, you haven't upset me. I'm not upset in the slightest. Don McAllister, it puts us all to shame. There is. I come with a knitting needle if it was a joust with Don, that's for sure. So, we're there.
Imagine, right? I wanted to learn about sort of Apple stuff. And I wanted to download the Apple content video podcasts, or I should say screencasts, without subscribing. What would I do?
Hey, go on.
Well, I'm just saying, imagine I wanted to learn about a particular program. Let's take, out of random, like iWork, for example.
And you didn't want to pay for them?
No, he didn't want to be a member.
Oh, you could go to Academy, couldn't you? Screencast Online Academy.
Good.
Got you.
I could do, couldn't
I? Well, you got to pay for them in the Academy, though. It's not free.
So what's the deal, Don? You can just buy them sort of individually, or...?
No, I'm not going to sell sort of individual episodes, but if it's a group of episodes that go together as a topic, like, iWork is a topic. So, and I'll probably do one for OS, for Yosemite when that comes out, and I'll probably do one for iOS 8. So obviously the members will get it first, so they'll get it every week. And then when they're all finished, I'll bundle them together and stick it on the Academy so people can buy that as a block, just as a one-off payment, really, rather than having to pay every week or every month or whatever.
Do you want me to do the Yosemite one?
No, I'm already scheduled to do that, so that's okay. You could do one for Mavericks if you want.
Okay, I'll do the Mavericks one. It'll be quite short, if that's okay. And it'll be quick.
I'll give that one away for free.
It's as shite as Mavericks. That's it.
It will offend a lot of people as well, but it'd be quite jolly, wouldn't it?
We'll see. We'll see. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Check out the rest of the network if you haven't listened to it yet. The Pocket Show is perfect. It's iOS versus Android versus Windows Phone. If you're in the mobile market, it's well worth a listen. Great episode this week, if for nothing else other than the fact that Alison Sheridan recommended a Windows Phone. I damn near crashed a car when I was listening to that driving at midnight. And we've got Gamer Show as well with Sam and Chiz and Paul. And we started the drone show with me, Paul Shadwell and Paul Wheatley. We are building a drone. So they've got all the pieces. I've given them a shopping list. They're going to build it. And I'm going to sit here and say, well, this is how I crashed it. So try and crash it differently. And we've got loads of other stuff happening. House of Cards podcast is slowly going up as well. So give those a go if you're into it. We'll see you again next week, back in as normal. We're back on Friday night, though. It's going to be a 7 p.m. show in the evening and a 9 p.m. show for Big on Friday evening, because I'm away in the morning. See you all soon. Thanks for listening.